Hello, and welcome back to Girls Like You, the premier Barbie movie podcast. Today, we'll be discussing Barbie and the Nutcracker. Barbie and the Nutcracker was released in 2001, and despite what we learned in our last podcast episode, that Barbie and the Sensations and Barbie and the Rockers were the first Barbie movies, this movie was promoted as Barbie's first movie appearance.
Clearly, whoever was promoting this did not know their own canon, and that's kind of embarrassing for the marketing team.
Yeah, I feel that too. And they also promoted Barbie and the Christmas Carol as her first Christmas movie. And I was like, excuse me, because Barbie and the Nutcracker takes place at Christmas. I would say it's a Christmas movie.
But. Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's true. I mean, it's the Nutcracker. What else is it supposed to be?
I mean, there's only gingerbread and a giant Christmas tree. I don't know what else would make it a Christmas movie.
Maybe they're pagan. Maybe it's a Saturnalia movie. Happy Saturnalia, Barbie.
Anything is possible in the Barbie multiverse.
That is true.
Mm-hmm.
So Alyssa's going to start us off with our plot summary.
Okay. I will try to keep this brief, but there's a lot that happens. Okay. So, frame story. Barbie and Kelly are dancing to the Nutcracker suite, and Kelly just can't seem to get it right, and she throws a fit and sits down on the ground. She's like, I'm never going to get this, and Barbie's like, but let me tell you a story. So they go into the actual Nutcracker story. Clara receives a Nutcracker on Christmas Eve from her Aunt Elizabeth, who's like this world traveler, but then her brother Tommy wants the Nutcracker, breaks his arm. You know, Tommy just stinks. So then the Nutcracker wears a sling. You'll really get that, but we're moving on. So she wakes up and sees the Nutcracker fighting rat soldiers. She's like, that's odd. And then the Nutcracker, the Rat King, emerges from the wall, and he's like, you know, this is my house. And then Barbie's like, no, this is not your house. So then he shrinks her down, and she and the Nutcracker have to fight off the Mouse King. She throws a shoe at him, and it's good. But then she's like, wait, I'm still small. This could be problematic. And then the owl that was on the top of her grandfather clock flies down and is like, here's this locket if you want to go back home, but you should probably go fix yourself first. She and the Nutcracker go through the wall into an ice tunnel and get stuck in an ice cave until ice fairies come and break them out, and they enter Parthenia, which is this snow. Is it even cold? And the trees smell like peppermint. Yeah, I've watched this movie a lot. Anyway.
I was about to say, I didn't remember those details.
So after they enter Parthenia, they come across a ransacked gingerbread village and find two kids and their horse Marzipan. And they're talking to the boy, and they get into some political drama. The boy talks about how he doesn't like Prince Eric, who abandoned the throne and left a vacant for the Mouse King. And he's like, this sucks. Everything sucks. He's a very pessimistic 8-year-old boy. But then the rat soldiers come after them. They're running through the woods, and then they get saved by other villagers who are refugees from the gingerbread village, living in the trees now, all 12 of them.
The whole village is 12 people.
Then they meet Major Mint and Captain Candy, who also have history with Prince Eric. Major Mint does not like the man, but Captain Candy was his friend back in the academy.
Yeah, back in just the vaguely titled academy.
The academy. And then Clara picks up on the Nutcracker's hint and exposes him. He's Prince Eric. What? Yeah, sorry. I didn't warn you about spoiler alerts, but the Nutcracker is Prince Eric. So then they decide with Major Mint and Captain Candy to go find the Sugar Plum Princess to make Clara big again, but also to defeat the Mouse King. So then they journey along, and you pick on things. Eric is a good leader. Clara is kind, clever, and brave. Wonderful. So then they finally make it to the Sugar Plum Princess's castle. But wait, it's cardboard. All the men get captured.
And the wall falls over.
It's classic.
So, right. So then Claire's alone and she's like, I guess I could go back home and wear my doll clothes. And then she's like, no, I shouldn't leave them. That would be bad. So then the spring fairies whisk her away on a vine swing to the rat castle. And then she goes and finds two rat soldiers guarding an empty room. And she's like, why is that? But wait, it's not an empty room. It has an invisible wall keeping the men. Oh my gosh, she found them. And then, so after she breaks the wall, she hugs Eric and gets a little steamy. And Captain Candy's like, ooh, gotta close my eyes.
Ooh. But Major Mitch keeps eye contact. He wants to see everything that happens.
Major Wind is a weirdo.
Yeah, he's odd.
So then they all journey down to the courtyard and find the Mouse King. And he's like, I'm about to barbecue this nutcracker. But then Claire's like, no. And he's like, watch me. And he also turns all the villagers there, all 12 of them that were there to fight the Mouse King, into stone. So they're useless.
But they were very useful before. So if anything, it's better now. They're not liabilities.
They're safely out of harm's way.
And right. They have more use as stone than they are alive at the moment, so.
So then they're fighting. Eric gets down. He gets beaten up. Claire's like, oh, no. And then the rat's like, I'm going to finish him off. And Claire's like, no, you're not. But wait. Then Eric steps in, deflects his spell with his sword, which goes back on him and shrinks the Mouse King, because that's his spell, shrinking people. So he becomes small. And then Clara, holding the nutcracker, the beaten up nutcracker in her arms, she kisses his cheek and says, Prince Eric. And everyone's like, what? Prince Eric? I guess just to Major Mint and Captain Candy, but then everyone knows. Anyway, small detail. So then everyone, all of the Mouse King spells are erased. All the villagers become people again. Everything comes bright and colorful. It's great. And so Clara becomes the Sugar Plum Princess and Eric turns back into a human, and they're wearing fancy outfits, and it's great, and everyone's happy.
Wow, it was inside them all along.
Wow.
I was wow.
Because Clara is kind, clever, and brave. The only qualifications to be a Sugar Plum Princess.
Her resume was the best.
Everyone dances. Clara and Eric have a special little dance, very cute. But then the Rat King, riding on his sidekick back, kind of irrelevant why he's not mentioned until now. But anyway, he rides on his bat and takes Clara's necklace and opens the locket so that she is sent home after she told him that he would stay.
The Rat King is petty. That's all. The petty, petty man.
I know. He was like, I despise happy endings. And we're like, why do you have to do that, though? Like, that does not benefit you. You're just mean. So then she's disappearing, turning into nothingness. And then Eric's like, wait, I love you. After she already leaves. So sad. So then Clara wakes up. Her uncle and her brother are like, what the heck happened to you? And then she's like, all confused. She's like, where's the nutcracker? And then Aunt Elizabeth walks in. She goes, look who I met in my morning stroll. This is Eric. And then she's like, what the heck? She's like, oh my gosh. And then, so they're like, was this a dream? Was it not a dream? But then he gives her the necklace. I was like, oh my gosh. So definitely not a dream. And then they dance around the living room, which is cute. So then it goes back to Kelly and Barbie, and Kelly's like, wow, I can believe in myself. And Barbie's like, yep, let's do the dance. So they do the dance mostly right and call it a day.
That was the moral of the entire story.
Now, Alyssa, you say that Kelly does the dance mostly right, but according to the Wikipedia summary of Barbie and the Nutcracker, the story ends, Kelly realizes the importance of not giving up, and she and Barbie finally manage to dance the solo perfectly.
Are you saying that the solo isn't perfect, Alyssa? Are you disagreeing with the infallible Wikipedia page?
I would say that it was mostly because there's one part, Kelly kicks out her leg. I don't know if it's supposed to be like an arabesque or not, because her foot doesn't know where it is. It's like, is it turned out? It's like not turned out. And it bugs me every time I watch it. I'm like, Kelly, what are you doing with your feet? No, I know she's five.
It's unacceptable. She's 5 and animated, but we expect more.
Right. So that's just like every time me and my sister watch it and she's like, I did it. And we're like, did you, Kelly?
I don't think you did, Kelly, but being delusional.
It's like, so it's like, it's just so gross. Just that one part. It's like she kicks her leg out one way and then the other way. And you're like, no, where's that turn out?
Well, it's especially disappointing considering that the New York City Ballet modeled the dancing for this movie.
Obviously, yeah. Well, ballet dancer just was totally screwed up on recording day.
Yeah, well, I mean, they were also probably, like, recording a child, which is like, yeah, okay, she's 5. But, I mean.
You know, they really bowled out for Barbie's quote-unquote first animated movie. They all, in addition to hiring the New York City Ballet, the London Symphony Orchestra plays the recording of the Nutcracker ballet music that they use throughout the movie. And Tim Curry, famed character actor from the likes of Clue the movie and the Rocky Horror Picture Show, plays the Mouse King. It's a pretty big budget actor to have in there, and we'll see throughout the Barbie movies as we continue that every once in a while they'll have a familiar name in the cast list.
They like pull out the budget. They're like, you know what, this project is worth it. We need an A-list or at least a B-list celebrity
actor. We need Martin Short.
We need Martin Short. This movie would be nothing without him. I think that was it. They were like, there's only one man who can play the Rat King in Barbie and the Nutcracker. Call Tim Curry. Tell him to name his price and he'll be in this film. Whatever it takes, we need Tim Curry.
Well, Tim Curry did add a lot to the Mouse King character. I mean, honestly, does anyone remember Pim, the bat sidekick? What are his iconic, you know, moments? The Mouse King commands way more attention from the movie and from us, for sure. My favorite thing about the Mouse King is his whole plan and evil doing seems to revolve around shrinking people, whether that just means making them smaller in general or turning them into various knick-knack statues, bookends. There's just a lot of shrunk people around the Mouse King.
It's like less an evil plan and more of like a really weird like fetish. Like he just likes everything small. Like I just imagine, you know, other evil villains like going to dominate the world, you know, to kill my enemies. No, I just want to make everyone really small. You know, do you ever have that feeling to just make everything really small? You know what, Rat King, we don't. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know how people are kind of big, but what if we just made them small?
I think in terms of talking about the various characters in the movie, we would be remiss if we did not mention Aunt Elizabeth. You know, she replaces the kind of creepy old Uncle Drosselmeyer character of the ballet and the story and many adaptations. And it's kind of cool. She's like a fun feminist aunt, a female role model for Barbie, and also integral into getting Clara and Eric together.
Yeah, but she just wants to set up her niece. Like, that's nice.
Can we talk about the hair? What's up with the hair?
The little cinnamon buns.
They're like two interconnected cinnamon buns just stuck on the back of her head.
Oh, that's where like all the money went to Tim Curry, not to the hair animation budget. It's very clear. Like, oh, look, Aunt Elizabeth can't have nice hair because we have Tim Curry. It's a give and take.
Yeah, I feel like it was like they were going for like, you know, the like Victorian updo, but they were kind of like, ooh, it would be cool if we just made it like swirly. And then we're like, wait, how do you do that?
That doesn't make any sense.
It's a good do. No, but she's great. She's probably like one of the best secondary characters in Barbie movies. She's just like, she's great. She comes in, she tells Clara's weird grandpa what's up. Like, you can't keep an adult woman in a house all day. That's weird. And then she's like, here, Clara, here's a doll. Have fun. And then when Clara wakes up the next morning, she's like, Clara, I brought you a man. Like, that's the best kind of aunt.
You're speaking of bad animation. We would be remiss not to talk about the backgrounds and general kind of weird animation of this movie. Like, I get that it was the first Barbie movie, and it came out, you know, in 2001, just like a year or two after Toy Story came out, and that was one of the first, like, big blockbuster computer animated movies. But the backgrounds are so strange because they're painted in 2D, and then they lay the 3D animation over it, but it just makes it look like there's a wall, like, directly behind the characters, and, like, it was a movie shot on green screen.
It looks like everything is, like, the castle scene, where one of the characters is just gonna go push against the sky, and it all falls down. It's very unsettling. It just doesn't look right in animation. Just,
Maybe that's why they didn't realize it was a cardboard castle, and they just literally walked straight into the wall.
Because their entire reality is
the whole world looks like that.
The sky, it's fine. And then, like, same thing with, like, the, like, that comes in when, like, the tunnel, right? Like, it's like they're supposed to be going through something, but it just looks like a circle with, like, a frame. Like, there's just a picture in it. It's not like they're going, I don't know, there's just no depth.
Yeah. I think it's funny that there was a tunnel in this movie as well, because there was that space-time tunnel, like, wormhole in the last movie. We were talking earlier, like, looking ahead at all the Barbie movies, we're going to have to track every time there's a tunnel, because they seem to pop up a lot. I don't know if it's easy to animate, or if they're just, you know, an exciting way to add some tension to the plot, some action, but tunnels do seem to pop up in the Barbie movies quite often.
I think it's an easy mode of transport that doesn't need too much explanation to. Like, well, how do they get to the new land? Through a light tunnel, you know?
Magic tunnel. They did a focus group and they saw that kids really responded well to the tunnel. It's like, we had a lot of different options, but it seemed that our demographic really loved tunnels. Like, you know, 5 to 12-year-old girls are just into tunnels. And so they had to add more tunnels in. It, you know, it's just what the numbers said. We tried carriages, we tried bridges, but it was the tunnels that just kept getting all the feedback. So I guess that must be it. Although I never had a Barbie tunnel. I don't know. They didn't sell those. So I feel a little disappointed. Like, there's my dream house, but where's my dream tunnel, Barbie?
Now, would the tunnel be for you to climb in and play in as a child, or would it be for your Barbie dolls to go through?
I feel like you would have both. It would be kind of like a Rat King thing. There'd be a human tunnel, and then I could shrink it down and make it a Barbie tunnel.
Just, like, twist it till it gets smaller?
Yeah, just twist it down and make it a Barbie tunnel. I think that was a missed opportunity on their part.
Well, we obviously, Mattel will be listening to all of our podcasts looking for opportunities to sue us. So, Mattel, that's a free idea for you. We just ask that you send us free Barbie merch.
Yeah, I want a Barbie tunnel.
Just send us a Barbie tunnel once you make
it. A tunnel with Barbie on it, please.
Okay, so maybe now is a good time to talk about some of the best and weirdest lines in this movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, Barbie movies are kind of famous for their, like, wacky one-liners. And there's a lot of interesting ones that really made us crack up even out of context. Alyssa, do you want to start with the first one?
Yeah, sure. So one line that always makes me laugh, not necessarily because it's funny on its own, but it reminds me of something. So do you guys remember that Geico commercial from a while ago with Dikembe Mutombo, where he, like, walks up to people and, like, smacks things out of their hand. He's like, knocked in my house. that just makes me laugh. Or when Barbie first encounters the Rat King, she goes, not in my house.
Just imagine her, like, pushing the Rat King away. No, no, no.
Not in my house.
One of my favorite Rat King lines is when he's trying to figure out more information about this sugar plum princess, who we of course know is eventually shown to be Clara. he reads the entry and goes, sugar plum princess, kind, clever, and brave, that's it, and then throws the book across the room. It's really extra, but also kind of a meta commentary on the qualification to be a sugar plum princess. Like, literally, it could have been anyone.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know tons of people who are both kind, clever, and brave. That's a triple threat.
It could have been Masha.
That's true.
I wonder if it's like a Neville Longbottom Harry Potter situation, where Harry Potter's only the chosen one because he got picked by Voldemort, and if Voldemort had picked Neville, he would have been the chosen one.
Yeah, if someone had picked the other, like, or maybe Marzipan could have been the sugar plum princess. I personally believe that.
That's basically the plot of Magic of Pegasus, right?
Yeah, no, it's the great schism within this world. It's like, who was the true sugar plum princess? Like, there's people who believe it's Clara, and then there are people, no, 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 she is the false princess. I do not bow to her.
There's a weird line that, talking about the sugar plum princess, Major Mint and Captain Candy, you know, add great comic relief to the movie. But Major Mint has a fun way of talking. He likes to say things like, great googly, or what was that accent? Great googly, or cheeky blighter, which is just like the funniest impression of a British person I have ever heard. But he says, I don't have time to look for a sugar pie. And I just like that he was so outraged that he couldn't finish his sentence.
He almost like sneezes or like snorts at the end, like a horse.
Yes, it's like.
Oh, and then he and Captain Candy, you know, are always going at each other. So
they're a duo. They're just comedic duo. Can't be stopped. Back and forth.
There's one exchange where he goes, "Who's dangling from a branch?" And then Captain Candy responds, whose leadership skills put them there?
It's a sick burn.
Because truly, he just knocked him over the edge of a cliff and then almost killed his best friend.
Every time I hear this, I'm like, wow, Barbie, such a sick burn. Like, wow, way to throw it down. So after Tommy, her little brother, breaks her new nutcracker, whom she loves already, he breaks it. He's like, sorry. And then she goes, you're impossible.
It's just so good by the long pause in between you're and impossible. It just goes on for just a little too long.
She thinks for all that time, and then the best insult she can come up with is impossible.
I'm personally always a big fan of the Rat King when he gets his bonfire on. And, you know, as one does when you need to have a menacing bonfire, and he looks at the nutcracker and goes, I'll give you two choices, nutcracker, dismemberment or barbecue. And it's just what a choice. I mean, I don't know. You choose which one you would like. I don't know if either are good. If I was a wooden man, maybe barbecue would be better. Although I think he gets dismembered earlier in the movie. So I don't know if that's really a threat.
Yeah, he, like, loses his hand all the time because Tommy broke it.
Yeah, like, he takes his arm off once to save somebody. So I think dismemberment isn't a threat to him. He does not fear that. He feels nothing when you tear him apart. The only way to kill him is to burn him. That was your first mistake, Rat King.
Can you imagine, like, a different movie where the Rat King was a protagonist and he, like, dismembers the nutcracker and then all the pieces start, like, pulling and, like, clawing their way across the ground?
That's creepy. The creepy 2D ground. With
yeah, everything is just one flat plane.
No depth with a flat plane.
One of my favorite exchanges between the Nutcracker and Clara, I don't know, it's not really a funny set of lines, but I think it's just the way that it's delivered just always makes me crack up. Okay, I'll do my best impression. So, Clara and the Nutcracker / Prince Eric are having a conversation about the Sugar Plum Princess, and he goes, I've been trying to find her since the Mouse King turned me into a nutcracker. And she goes, you mean you used to be not a nutcracker? And it just always makes me crack up.
Nutcracker. Oh, golly. Oh, get him.
But just, he's very blunt in a moment where it doesn't really make sense.
You know, I guess now that's a good segue. We can talk about the romance in this movie.
Ooh, is it steamy?
Oh, it's steamy. Let me tell you, I had to like take off layers. It was so hot in here. Like Nutcracker and Clara really are the true couple. They just, whew. I do think we put this under like our ideas of bad animation, but when they try to kiss, it looks really weird. So it's supposed to be this great scene, but it just, obviously the animation just doesn't really touch each other. So just, I don't know. It's the same thing. It just,
well, it's very awkward. Here's the thing. Like they made the Nutcracker's head so big, like four times the size of Clara's head. So I'm sure that like at first they're like, okay, well she can kiss him on the lips, but it would be her tiny Barbie lips on his giant, like face-spanning nutcracker grin. It'd literally be, like, 20 times the size of her lips.
Yeah.
So they make her kiss them on the cheek, but it doesn't quite work.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. But other than that, their chemistry off the hook. As the Mouse King has called the Nutcracker, he is a hunky utensil. And let me tell you, I've got to be honest. I've seen some hunky utensils in my day, but that one, he definitely takes the cake.
I don't think the Mouse King called him a hunky
utensil. Oh, did he not?
I think you that called was him.
You haven't noticed. I think they did.
Wait, the Nutcracker called him a utensil.
Oh, I thought you said, I think we just said it when it came up and I just assumed. It was like, yeah, good for him.
Well, I think we were talking about how Clara was like, wow, this, you know, this Nutcracker is really attractive. And we were like, that's kind of weird because he's like a utensil. But then we kind of got on the discussion of like, but what if lots of utensils were like, looked like attractive men?
Like a sexy spork.
Sexy spork.
A muscle-bound pepper grinder.
Oh my gosh, I want one of those like hot grapefruit like spoons that has like a little knife edge. Like that's nice. That's a bad boy utensil. That's like, that utensil's gonna not take you to prom and try to give you cigarettes and you know it's bad for you, but you can't help yourself.
Okay, inventors out there listening to our podcast, you may take our idea of hunky utensils if you send us, of course, a complete set.
Yeah, that's our normal contract. You can not pay us for these ideas as long as you give us some.
Well, one thing we also said is that part of Clara and the Nutcracker / Prince Eric's attraction to each other may have been their shared body dysmorphia, since, you know, Clara was stuck in a much smaller version of herself and the Nutcracker was stuck as a anthropomorphic Nutcracker that walks around and talks and not as a human person.
Traumatizing.
He's really, really struggling.
Yeah.
I have to say though, like this romance is so compelling that when human Eric walks into the room, I literally screamed. I am going to be 20 years old very shortly and I screamed.
I mean, I think we all do. It takes out the romantic in all of us. Because it's such a plot twist. You think, okay, just going to be another rebound guy. But then it's actually Eric.
And he gives her the necklace.
Talk to each other like they've known each other for so long, you know. It's like so good. Also, like their dance at the end. Like, oh, I love it so much. Like every time like it gets to that part, I'm like, I get a little excited. I'm like, oh, it's gonna dance. Because it's just so good. And it's just like, it's actually pretty dramatic because like they add a bunch of like camera sweeps to go along with the lifts, which the lifts are so good. But then they add the camera sweep where it makes this whole dramatic thing. And you're like, oh my gosh, this is like so good.
Yeah, the cinematography of this movie is impeccable.
Yeah, no, that actually holds up. Like the animation, a little wonky, but they obviously took time to really figure out how you film dance, which I think is cool because that's a hard thing to do. And I'm like, if you're going to go, they obviously did utilize what they had. And the animation problems that they do have is clearly a budget thing, less of a not having the talent.
Mm-hmm. Also, like, it was, like, very early, like...
Yeah, it's very early animation, too, so you can only kind of judge it.
The translation of, like, actual dancers to like, the dancers in the Barbie movie was, like, I thought was really good, but I also, like, that they kind of, like, took some things that, like, might not be completely possible for dancers, but, like, you know, since it's animation, you can still kind of do what you want, but, like, it was still very much, like, ballet. And it was like,
yeah, the dance is definitely one of the strong parts of the movie.
Mm-hmm. Wait, does Captain Candy's coffee grinder count as ballet? I have to know.
100%.
That makes me laugh, actually, though.
Here, I have a quick personal story I can tell on the podcast. In sixth grade, I was at a middle school dance, and I saw this guy from my class wearing a cable knit sweater at a middle school dance. Very interesting choice, doing a coffee grinder in the middle of the dance floor. And that made me so interested that I worked up the courage to ask him to dance. And we dated, quote unquote, dated from that dance until the next one. And then I broke up with him because he wasn't talking to me.
Wait, is this?
We could say it, yeah. You can say it.
It's Alexander. Okay, that's what I thought. Alexander!
Yes, but I love a man doing a coffee grinder. Yeah, ever since I was little. Maybe it's from this movie.
It's really subliminally messaging then to young girls. When a man coffee grinds, you can't look away.
And clearly it's a classical ballet move. Well, that concludes our episode. to Barbie and the Nutcracker of the Girls Like You podcast. Yay!
Woohoo! We did a second one.
If you guys have any questions, comments, or insights you would like to share with us, you can email us at girlslikeyoupod@gmail.com or message us on Anchor Podcast. Send us a video message on Anchor. Girls Please Like do. You.
Please do. Lily loves emails.
I love emails, and currently we have zero. Send me an email.
Bye.